Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there was a man who had a reason to celebrate. Not just any reason to celebrate, but like the biggest reason to celebrate. And he decided that this reason to celebrate was so huge that he was going to throw the party of the century. And so he got all the planning together. First and foremost, of course, was the menu. He researched the caterers, he interviewed them, and he figured out which one was absolutely the best for his party. And he went over the menu with the caterer and figured out how many people he was going to have, and he ordered double the amount of food the caterer thought that he needed for those people, because he wanted people to be stuffed and take food home, which makes me think he must have been Filipino. I'm learning. All right, so he had the food covered. He made sure that the decorations were just going to be massive, the most elegant party he had ever seen. Hired the best DJ, got a photo booth together, even made sure to get really amazing party favors. And why did he do that? Because when people left, he wanted them to see those party favors and to be able to keep celebrating what he was celebrating every time that he saw them. So everything was set, he had all the plans made, and now it was time to make the guest list. So he sat down and he thought, all right, first I got to make sure I got family. He's getting through the important family members. And then he's getting to come to those family members that he's like, oh, I really don't like hanging out with that uncle, because that uncle is just the strangest bird in the family. But realize the celebration is so big, we got to make sure to include everybody important. So all the family got on that list, all the neighbors got on the list, all of the closest of friends, everybody that he wanted to make sure was able to be there to celebrate with him on this really tremendous occasion. And so he got the list all made. He made sure everybody was on it that needed to be on it. And then he got printed the best invitations money could buy. They were so amazing, he thought, people are going to take one look at this invitation and immediately call me and say, I have to be at your party, put me on the list, I'm there. And so off the invitations went. And he knew when they were going to be getting into people's mailboxes, so he knew when the phone should start ringing. And so when that day came, he sat by the phone and he waited. And he thought, now who's going to be the first person to pick up that phone and say, I'm going to be at your party. I'm so excited. And he waited and he waited. And finally the phone rang and he picked it up with all the excitement. Hello! And what does he hear on the other end? But he hears an excuse, right? I got your party invitation, but I've got this new car and I'm going to need to wash it that day. So I'm really sorry I can't be at your party. He's thinking, you got to wash your car? You're going to wash your car instead of coming to the party of the century? And he thought, all right, you're the one missing out. Yours, it's all on you. And he washed the dust from that one. And so he waited, and the phone rang again, and up it picks. Hello! All excited, thinking it's going to be somebody. And what does he hear? But another disappointed voice. I'd really like to come to your party, but I'm going to need to be able to walk my dog. I can't come. He's thinking, walk your dog? That's the lamest excuse I've ever heard. But all right, they're the one that's missing out. And the phone kept ringing, and he heard excuse after excuse. My mother died 16 years ago. I think that's the day I should go visit her at her graveside. You know, I need to wash my hair. You know, I just don't have anything to wear. I'm not coming to your party. Just excuse after excuse. And he's slowly crossing names off his list until he realizes he's crossed off every name on his list. No one that he cares about is coming to his party. And he was just crushed. Furious, I think, could have been the word from children's time. He couldn't believe that nobody was coming to his party. But the food had already been paid for. The decorations were already at the house ready to put up. Everything was set. He couldn't get out of the contracts. And he thought, what am I going to do? He said, well, I still have this reason to celebrate. I still want to have the best party of all time. I'm going to find the people to come to my party. So he left his house with a brand new stack of invitations in hand, and he went into town. And he went to the coffee shop and he started handing out his invitations. And he went to the homeless shelter and he started handing out his invitations. He even went to that huge long line at the DMV and just started handing his invitations out. Anybody and everybody, didn't matter if he knew him or not. He said, I'm having the best party and I want you to be there. And people were kind of shocked. You want me at your party? You don't even know me. Yes, you look like an amazing person. I want you at my party. The homeless man sleeping on the street said, come to my party. Why would you want me at my party? Because I got enough food to fill your belly and send it with you. Come to my party and eat well. Well, the day of the party came. And slowly people started coming. Not the people that were on his first list. Not the people that were most important in his life. Not his closest family and closest friends and neighbors right next door. But the everyday people he found on the street. Slowly but surely were walking in the door until the party was filled, and it really truly was the party of the century that nobody would ever forget. That party of the century is described right here in my hand. Did you hear the party that Dylan described? Let me tell it to you one more time. Slightly different version. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For your rod, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What kind of party is it? It's the greatest party God will ever throw. It's the party where we lack nothing. Because everything's provided for us. He did that during creation. Provided us the perfect earth to live on. Provided us everything we need to eat. Everything we need to be able to have shelter. Everything we need for all of the basic necessities. And even more so, when he created it, he said, I need somebody really special to care for it. I need somebody that can be the keeper of this kingdom. And I'm going to create them in my image. And he created us. He said, you get all the responsibility. You get to be the head of this world. And he said, I'm going to make sure you have what you need. Everything that's truly important. He says, when times get tough, I'm going to walk you through them. When you grieve, I'm going to comfort you. When you're hungry, I'm going to feed you. When you're thirsty, I'm going to feed you. When you're scared, I'm going to give you courage. He says, and then, when your time in this world is up, you get to live with me in my house forever. God said, that's my party. That's not just the party of this century or this millennium, but he said, that's the party of all time. When created human beings, he had the choicest of human beings that he invited first, that he called the Israelites. He said, these are the ones I've set aside. These are my chosen. These are the ones that are going to be with me. These are the ones invited to my party. And if you're not one of them, you might be out of luck. But then he realized it wasn't enough. He realized he had enough room in his kingdom and enough room in his heart that he could take everyone. And he sent Jesus to make sure that the invitation could go out to every human being near and far, no matter ethnicity, no matter where they're born, no matter what language they speak, no matter if they're nobility or servant, living in a mansion or on the streets. He said, everybody gets to get an invitation. Everybody gets invited to my party called salvation. And he said, there's got to be a way for these invitations to go out. There's got to be a way for people to know about my party, for people to know what their life can be like when they're with me, what it's like to be in relationship with me, what it's like to live for me. And God created the church. And he said, the church is going to be physical invitations into a life with me. And he built them one by one. And he started filling them up with people. And those people started inviting people. And they got fuller and fuller. And the church began to move mountains. The church was there to build schools. The church was there to educate children. The church was there to build orphanages. The church was there to do prison ministries. The church was there to feed people in need. The church was there to respond to hurricanes and tornadoes. The church was there in good times and bad. The church was there to allow the lonely to have a place they could connect with people. The church was there so that the broken could be healed. The church was there so that those who felt unloved could be loved. The church was there for people to be able to be family. The church was there for people to discover who they are and to change their lives for the better. The church was there. Why? Because of God's invitation. There are many here who are here because they were invited by a friend. There are many here because they were invited by a family member. There are those here that were invited by a neighbor. There are even some here that were invited by a stranger. You might be here because you were invited by the website or a newspaper. You might be here just because you saw us on the corner and it looked like a welcoming building and you came in. And I can't tell you how thankful I am, or however the invitation got to you, that got you to this place. But I'm more thankful for the reason you stayed. I think about when I first got invited to this place. It wasn't a friend or a neighbor. It was the bishop of the California Pacific Annual Conference. I remember that moment exactly. I was driving in my car and I was put on a conference call with no less than three district superintendents on the call. Three, or was it four? It was too many, I have to tell you. Usually it's one. And so I have this abundance of district superintendents. And I knew they were calling about an appointment, and I pulled over my car. And it's a good thing, because my jaw hit the ground when they said Torrance First United Methodist Church, and my first response was, where's Torrance? Isn't that L.A.? L.A. scares me. There's too much traffic there. I was raised a suburban girl in South Orange County, And then I headed out to the Inland Empire, and I had only just got to the point where I was loving the dirt and the farm animals and the open fields, and you're going to take me from that to L.A. I was like, all right. So what can you tell me about this church? Well, it's 60% Filipino. I'm not Filipino. No. They'll love you. You'll be just fine. Okay. So it came time for the SPRC interview. Oh, that's the most nervous time in the world for me. That's me as vulnerable as possible. What if they hate me? What if they think I'm going to be a terrible pastor and say, don't you dare send this crazy woman to me? You know, in those interviews, I shake like crazy because of my tremors. And you get me too excited and I talk a million miles an hour, okay? If you can imagine me talking too fast, right? Never. And I walked in, and what do I find but such a welcoming group of people? And I've been through introductions. I've been through them as a pastor. I've been through them as a pastor's wife. I've interviewed for jobs at churches. I've been a lay person. I've been a pastor. I've been an employee. Lots of churches I've gone through. And this was a great welcome. To walk in and not only to have a room full of smiles and welcomes and excitement about who I was, but this huge vase of flowers and even a plate of homemade chocolate chip cookies. Never in my life have I heard of a pastor that gets a homemade plate of chocolate chip cookies to welcome them to the church. And then I come for my first Sunday, and it's not even just a welcome pastor, but it was a party in the social hall. I mean, that was a party in the social hall, decorations, food the way you all do food, and even gifts for my kids in feeling like they needed to make sure that they felt welcome in this place and a part of it. It was such incredible hospitality. All those nerves, all that wondering of what it was going to be, melted right away by that hospitality and welcome, knowing a church like this, I can absolutely call home. And why do I call it home? Because I was invited. I was invited by God. I was invited by the bishop in the cabinet. I was invited by the SPRC. But most importantly, I was invited by this church to stay and be the pastor here. We are all invited. We are all invited to be in a life with God and to be blessed by Him. We are all invited to walk into the doors of a church and find a place. We are invited to have our life changed because of those relationships. It's not just about filling a spot in a pew. It's not just about contributing what you do into an offering plate. It's not just about helping with the statistics, but it's about being a part of something that's considered the greatest party of all time, the celebration of God's unconditional love, a celebration of God's relentless grace, a celebration of being connected not only to the brothers and sisters in this church, but the church worldwide. That is something to celebrate. That is a party to be had. And I give thanks that each one of you is here, that each one of you in some way has been invited. And I pray that you're able to say, like Yoli did. Yoli did a great job. I knew she would. That's why I asked her and put her on the spot. She's got a great story to tell. And I know there are so many stories like this. And I hope that you'll be a part of this story and how you feel invited, how you feel welcomed, how you feel like you're a part of this family, and hoping that you're going and helping to make those stories happen, that you're relentless in inviting people to be a part of this, that you're inviting people to come and eat, to come and study, to come and be a part of this church and a life with God and all of the blessings that comes with it. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for this incredible day. This day that we are able to celebrate that we have been invited. That we have been invited to this church. But most importantly, that we have been invited into a life with you that has been made possible by your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. That we have been invited to sit at your table that has an abundance of what we need. that you leave us lacking nothing, that you leave us with your comfort, that you lead us with your rod and your staff, that you care for us in such a way that you have even provided our eternal home with you in your kingdom. For all of this, Lord, we are thankful, and we ask that you will help us through your Holy Spirit to celebrate this each and every day, having a party for you and with you. For all of this, we pray in your holy name. Amen.